Casanova. You can always text the show, 67974. These are some of the texts that have come in. I have not laughed out loud like this in a long time. Jack's not showing up today made this the funniest Hawk and Crowder show ever.
Nope.
Somebody says, didn't the skipper from Gilligan wear an ascot? No, it was Mr. Howell. Mr. Howell wore an ascot. I am laughing so hard I have tears in my eyes. Even Solana's laughing. Hawkman, that is cold-hearted.
That was dirty, man.
Jesus. I had to walk into the back room at work so I can laugh. Followed by, Lord have mercy. Six, seven, nine, seven, four on the text machine. Adam Beasley covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. So, bye week, obviously, this weekend for the Dolphins. Then, according to a story that we read right here on the radio from Beasley, we read it yesterday, comes maybe the most important game in recent history for the Miami Dolphins. And here is Adam Beasley. Hello, Bees.
Gentlemen, let the record show that I have never once stiffed you.
That is true.
I have honored all of my obligations to your program.
You have even shown up in studio, yes, as Jax was supposed to today.
Just remember, when you're listing your favorites, remember the loyalty I have for you guys, all right? That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Although, I think...
And if Solana was wearing flip-flops and a T-shirt, which is my everyday attire, I'd make sure I'd be in the studio that day as well.
Yeah, I mean, here he is, dressed up in an ascot and nowhere to go.
But I... Solana, do you have, like, a date or something later? Can you at least use it for that?
A date? Date?
I'll get something, I beast. You know. You know.
You know.
You, I bet he looks
and
good.
You
guys.
Know.
You're giving him a hard time. I bet he looks good.
Well, okay. If on my Instagram, I have video. It's Radio Mark Hawkman on Instagram. But somebody responded to my video post and said, the man bun ruins the look. Like, he's got that erudite ascot with the... with the sport coat look, but then he's got that very millennial, like millennials can't be erudite. And he's got that millennial,
like a hipster wearing, ascot,
yeah,
ironic.
Yeah, it's a weird vibe there. So, but yeah, you can check it out. Radio Mark Hawkman on Instagram if you want to see Alejandro Solana, who was very excited that Jax was coming into studio and now no longer is because Jax has blown us off. Explain why, Bees, we read the story yesterday, but explain why the Dolphins' next game against the winless Redskins, and I'm imagining they're not going to beat New England this weekend, but the Dolphins' next game against the Redskins might be their most important game in years.
Yeah, you'll have to forgive me. I didn't hear the show yesterday, so I'm not sure if I'm walking into a buzzsaw with an argument.
No, I happen to agree with you. I think you are dead on.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are two, maybe three other teams the Dolphins need to worry about with the number one pick. And the Redskins are one, the Bengals are the other, and perhaps the Broncos are the Jets. I think the Jets will get their bleep together once Darnold gets healthy, and they're not going to be as bad as these other teams. But if the Dolphins have one of those other teams, they play two of the other three, and they've got one of them after their bye. And if the Dolphins right now are like 80% to have the number one pick in the draft. You go by these, you know, the ESPN, the FPI, all these power indexes that weight yards, turnovers, third down conversions, all these things that go into a win, and they're so bad. I mean, the Dolphins are so very bad. Yes, the Redskins are 31st in FPI, but the Dolphins are 32nd by a country mile. In fact, the Redskins are closer in ability to top 10 teams than they are the Dolphins, and they're number 31. So there's a huge gap, at least on paper, between the Redskins and the Dolphins. That all being said, that franchise is a dumpster fire. They're gonna can their coach. They have three quarterbacks, which means they don't have one. They don't trust their rookie to play well, and the other two veterans they have aren't very good. There's a real chance things go completely off the rails here. So if somehow the Dolphins beat the Redskins, which they're not going to be favored, but it'll probably be a 2 or 3 point game. I haven't seen an early line yet, but I can't imagine it's going to be more than 5 or 6. If the Dolphins win that game, it's like the reverse of a magic number for clinching the playoffs. They've got to overcome a lot of obstacles to get that number one selection. Now you can make the argument, you know, there's more than one quarterback out there. Tua is not the only guy, Jordan Love, etc. But if you want to be guaranteed your pick, and you're Chris Greer is going to get one shot at this. He's going to get one shot at getting his franchise quarterback. And you hope the one shot in your life to do it right will be picking any player you want. You can't beat the Redskins. You just can't do it. So, I mean, this is so strange on so many levels. I know Dolphins alumni do not want this team to go winless, but you might have to do that. You might have to go 0-16 to secure that number one pick, and you can't go 0-16 if you beat the Washington Redskins.
And, Bees, we were talking yesterday about your article, and we got a good hour and a half out of it. We surely appreciate it.
But if you could produce tomorrow's show, actually the 4 o'clock hour, we're a little light now if you've got anything to throw our way.
Yeah, I'll think of something for you. Don't worry.
You're a good man, Bees. But, no, I was saying that if they do get maybe the second or third, whatever that pick is, they still have the Texans first rounder. They have the Steelers first rounder, which I believe the Steelers would be a top 15. They have their own second rounder. They have the Saints second rounder from trading back, you know, with that whole Rosen thing last year. They can put all that on the table and jump back up, or am I misguided?
Well, yes, if there's the team's willing to trade. Like, look, if it's the Jets and it's just that Darnold's sick for the whole year and they think he can come back healthy next year, maybe they might consider trading that pick, but they're not going to trade it to the Dolphins because Gase hates the Dolphins. So there are very few options of teams that have a set franchise quarterback that would allow the Dolphins to move up and take that pick. Yeah, they have assets, but it takes two to tango. You need another team that's in that spot to trade with them. So, I mean, guys, the doomsday scenario is this, right? They go 3-13, they win three games, and they pick fourth. I mean, it's unlikely, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. And then the top three quarterbacks are all gone by the time they pick. And what's nuts is we can talk about this on the outside. We can talk about how tough it would be to miss on Tua and Jordan Love and Justin Herbert, and they're tanking this year. This is the year they have to get that pick. But on the inside, they can't talk about this. They can't throw games. The NFL would destroy them if there was any evidence of them sitting, say, Josh Rosen for the fictitious injury for the Bengals game or the Redskins game. You can't do it. There has to be some level of trying. You can't just completely sandbag the season. So it's really weird, guys. It's like I have the same feeling for this game coming up as I would have for games in mid to late December when the Dolphins are like 7-7 and they need to win out to make the playoffs. Like, it's not overstating things that if they win a week from Sunday, the entire trajectory of the franchise can change for the next 20 years.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald is with us. Have you watched Tua play? We had this conversation in the 2 o'clock hour. Is he like a once-in-a-decade kind of talent coming out in the draft where, hey, if you have the opportunity to get this guy and it slips through your fingers, you will think about this for a decade to come?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know he is viewed widely as a difference-making franchise quarterback, and I know he's viewed through a different lens than even Kyler Murray was last year, that if Kyler Murray and Tua were in the same draft, 32 out of 32 teams would take Tua, maybe 31 if you know Cliff Kingsbury's control of the Cardinals draft again, but he is head and shoulders better than what was available in the 2018 draft. That being said, he's not perfect. He's still on the smaller size. You talk to scouts, people who really know the game, they see him as a more accurate with a better touch Russell Wilson. And of course you can win with Russell Wilson. He has won the Super Bowl. He's a really, really good quarterback. But I don't know if anybody would put Russell Wilson in the same category as, certainly not Patrick Mahomes, but the elite of the elite of the elite. So is Tua Andrew Luck? Maybe not, but he's still much better than anybody the Dolphins have. And I would say he's better than anyone else that will be available in the draft to come. Here's what's really crazy, guys, is this, though. There's whispers, and they've grown louder by the week, that some teams might not love Tua more than Jordan Love, that there might be a different quarterback taken number one depending on who the team with the first pick would be. So that's a scenario that really just blows my mind. We're all tanking for Tua, but there are two or three other quarterbacks out there, Joe Burrow and Herbert, the other two, that could go in the top 10. So to think that just because the Dolphins end up with the number one pick, they're going to take Tua, I would say it's very likely, but it's not a slam dunk. This thing has to unfold.
And Bees, when they interview Flores and ask him about his coaching job, he always says it's not good enough. It kind of sounds like a scapegoat question to me. You know, get around the answer type answer. Is this team well coached I know it's hard to see. I know the evaluation. I know the roster, you know, talent isn't there. But can you see if this team is well coached or not?
Well, I think there has been improvement in certain important areas. And I think one of them is penalties. I mean, under Gase, they're a very undisciplined team. I think this is a team that's much better when it comes to not hurting themselves. You can quibble with some of his decision-making, like playing Kalen Ballage as much as he does. I think Mark Walton's a better option than Ballage. But, I mean, really, it's like this, guys. It's like your house is burning to the ground and you're quibbling about a sprinkler in one of the rooms not going off when the entire warehouse is on fire. I mean, yes, there are ways the Dolphins could have improved, and I think some of the results have been on the coaches for sure. That opening game was a poorly coached game. They didn't believe that Lamar Jackson could throw the ball on him, and he threw it all over him. But we're really not going to have a real clear idea of how good these guys are until they get players there. I mean, honestly, I know people gave me hell about it last week when I wrote it, but smart football people are not saying there's a huge difference in ability, a difference in talent between the Dolphins roster and Alabama's roster, that if they would play on a neutral field, the Dolphins would be favored by 10 points. That's your guy Lee Sterling who told me that. I've seen other odds makers say something similar between 9 and 14 points. That's unthinkable, guys. That's absolutely unthinkable that the Dolphins have – I mean, it's basically a college football plus roster. Somebody else likened it to a CFL roster. So how are you going to have a true evaluation for how your coach is doing when they just have zero chance, you know, 15 out of 16 or 14 out of 16 games because they are so heavily overmatched? Now, if they go and get blown out by the Redskins, which are an awful, awful team, if they get housed by that team, then you can really start looking at Flores sideways because the talent's closer. It's not close, but it's closer, and that's probably the worst coached team in the National Football League, and that team is a true disaster. So I think we'll get a better feel as the weeks go on, but I can't sit here and say right now that either Flores is great or he's bad. There's no way you can know that based on the talent they have on the field.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. Quickly on the way out here, through a quarter of the season, are there any upside surprises on the Dolphins?
Oh, sure. There are plenty. I think Raekwon McMillan, he's bounced back in a big way. I think a lot of people kind of wrote him off after the struggles he had last year. Okay, you asked me about are they good coaches. I think the way they're using Raekwon McMillan is encouraging. They know what he does well, and they know what he doesn't do well. He doesn't cover well in space. Don't put him on one-on-one with a tight end. But if you put him in run packages to set the edge and to make tackles and to shoot the gaps, he's, according to Pro Football Focus, as good as anybody at doing that. He's really talented in that regard. So I think he's certainly a guy who's ascending. Taco Charlton, I think there are some good young pieces on defense. Offense, we can talk about another day because I think that's a total gut job. I think they maybe have two or three starters that should start next year and everybody else should be new. But on defense, you can kind of get the idea of what they're trying to do. They don't have enough horses yet, obviously, but you can kind of get a sense. So certainly I like the front seven. I think there's some real positives there. If Jerome Baker can get his act together and play better, that has the makings of a pretty good defense. So if you want optimism, something to hang your hat on, that is when you get Tua next year, or Jordan Love, or whoever it is, he's not going to have to score 40 a game to win. Maybe it's just 35.
Adam Beasley. Read his work in the Miami Herald. Follow him on Twitter as well. Thank you, Bees.
I'm sorry again, Solana. That really sucks.
Yeah, poor Solana.
Thanks, Bees.
There you go. Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. Somebody texts in, Laird, damn it.
Put Laird in.
Give me some Laird. You need offense? Give me some Laird.
Let Mark Walton fumble once or twice and watch it.
They'll go right to Laird.
Kalen's done.
They will go right to Laird. All right, there you go. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to make fun of Solana for wearing an ascot. I mean, you feel terrible, don't you?
I'm bad right now, man.
Yeah.
I'm bad.
Yeah. And you were so devoted to the segment that Jax was going to join us. Like, you really went above and beyond. I started the show by applauding you, by saying this guy's all in on today's show. And it's really backfired on you, hasn't it?
At first, I was just dejected, disappointed. Now I'm angry.
Yeah.
Like, now
yeah.
I'm mad at Jason Jackson.
Yeah, no, we got to have an ascot fight.
Send him a strong-worded email.
Or that.
That's the answer.
Or a strong-worded email. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.